I gotta stop playing with this pin before I stab myself and kill myself.
Probably for the best. I'd rather you didn't kill yourself.
At first, I thought you were talking about the other outcome.
What do you mean?
It would be for the best if I died here alive on episode.
Oh, no. No. Because I wouldn't get the file.
All right, how do we... What is this? What is this called?
It's called the Nintendo Switch.
This new box.
I thought you were talking about the podcast. I was like,
no, yeah, that's actually what I was talking about. Yeah, no,
oh, okay.
Not the console.
Permadeath. I mean, if it's not a proper, it's a permadeath. Yeah, it's not mixed pixel, but it's, I don't know if it's a proper
special.
Episode.
It's a special.
Or is it just it's like the Star Fox and the Pokken video, I guess.
Oh, I did stab myself with the pin. Ah,
Jesus Christ, Bill! You just said you were going to put it down.
It's a really weak pin. It didn't break skin, but I am going to put it down now.
Thanks. Thank you. You made me so angry that I blew out the mic.
Welcome, everybody, to the Permadeath Podcast. Nobody knows if this is a real episode or not, and that's okay. Because until now, we didn't know the Switch was a real console. This is all about the Nintendo Switch, previously known as the NX. I'm Bill Conway, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friends, Ebby and Kinross.
Hello,
how you guys doing?
Bill Conway.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
So we're in a post-NX world now. Well, it's not out, obviously, but we now know it. The burning questions in our heart have been somewhat answered. We've seen it.
Sort of.
We've seen people play it in the park.
Sort of.
Yeah, we've seen actors play it in the park.
Sort of.
We got kind of a glimpse as to maybe what might be on this thing. Sort of.
Yeah, all sorts of sort ofs, but they're very interesting sort ofs.
But I think this whole little announcement trailer came about when Nintendo had tweeted out like, "Oh, tomorrow, get ready for your first look at the NX," you know, and everyone got super hyped. Mm-hmm. And then people kind of got a little, at least internet like commenters got a little dehyped when they saw it was confirmed that it was just a 3-minute like reveal trailer and not really much else. Yeah. Then people were like, oh, it's probably not going to... But then the trailer came out, and, like, it was probably the best trailer they could have done. I think the trailer was great. I woke up late to the trailer. I tried waking up... Because this is big. I tried waking up... I had my plan set. I saw, like, oh, they're going to reveal it at 10 in the morning. Like, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Nintendo. And so I set my alarm... I wake up a little bit late. I have all this
set an alarm for 10 in the morning. I'm sorry.
Hey, you know, like, I stab myself with pins. What do you want?
Yeah, all right.
So I wake up to all these texts, and I'm just like, it's called Nintendo Switch, and I'm like half asleep, and I'm like, what? And so then I put the trailer on immediately, and then I see what it's all about, and I'm super excited. I'm super excited.
Hmm. Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome, everybody, to the Permadeath Podcast. What do you guys think of the Switch? Did it kind of...
I bloody hate it.
There's been all these rumors.
I despise it.
There's been all these
rumors. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Will it be a hybrid? Will it be this super powerful box? Will it be, you know, whatever?
Literally every leak that was like, oh man, it's going to be both a handheld and a home console was true. And that's basically every leak that there was about the NX.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There was also a lot of leaks about the actual detachable controllers. Because there was a point where everyone was like, this is going to be ridiculous, but you can have this Splatoon set of controllers, this ukulele set of controllers. Like, in terms of design, there were quite a lot of leaks or concept art things that did turn out to be legit. So people are now sort of trusting anything that those people say a little bit more. Cartridge base was the other big rumor.
And it is.
It is. Yes.
Which I'm happy about, because I really like cartridges.
Me too.
Prefer them over discs. By like
Rico friendly.
They don't damage as easily either.
Load times are faster.
The biggest thing for me though is when I was a kid, when I had an N64, it always made more sense for me to have an N64 over like a PlayStation 1 or whatever, because I was going back and forth between my parents' houses and I could just like throw cartridges in my bag. And you couldn't do that with discs. I was an irresponsible little
thing to do.
I don't know how old I was, but I've always liked cartridges because of that, because you can just sort of like throw them in the bottom of your bag and then they'll be there. Don't do that though. Mm-hmm. Like, probably.
I mean, it's better if you treat them a bit better, but they are fairly hardy things. Mm-hmm. For me, the big advantage of cartridges is you can buy like a case that can hold 20 cartridges and it takes up the same space as one box.
Mm.
So they're a lot more space efficient than discs.
That's true. And they did look very similar to 3DS sort of cartridges as well.
They look like a weird cross between 3DS and Vita cartridges, because they seem to be a little bit narrower and a little bit longer, and the pins are huge.
I actually... aren't PS Vita things, like, fucking tiny, though? Like,
they're obscenely small on the Vita. Like, to the point where as soon as I take it out of the box, I lose it. Like, in my head. I'm like, it's gone. Where did it go? Oh, it's in my hand still. Oh. I didn't know.
Honestly, I only owned two cartridges for the Vita, so...
They're so small.
Like, yeah, they're, bug. Like, tiny compared to 3DS cartridges.
A little stink bug in your hand. Only it's not a stink bug, it's Persona. So... Stupidest thing I ever did.
Persona 4 stink bug.
extra.
So, what we've got is... Like all the like a hybrid. We have this little tablet that hooks into this box, and then that beams to your TV. And then we see the man needs to take his dog out for a walk. He takes the tablet out of the box, hooks the controllers up, and like boom, the game beams right to the tablet. This is so exciting to me. I'm so excited for this because presumably, I think the big question a lot of people have with the Switch. Does this render future handhelds like gone? Is this it? Is this like their?
Oh, you mean like the end of the 3DS?
Yes,
range?
Yes. Like, will they be making a successor to the 3DS, or will they be focusing all of their effort towards games for the Switch? Like handheld devs on board, console devs on board, everybody on board for the Switch. Because I mean, like, why release a handheld when you could take this anywhere? You know. Yeah. And that's exciting to me, because I hope that's the case.
I think I have, like, several questions about it, though. It's like, what's the battery life on the tablet? Is the dock universal? So if I go to a friend's house, can I just, like, slam my NX in their dock and play games? Or is it, like, locked per console? Is it region locked? Does it have, like, an extra charger that I can take out and about with me? Mm-hmm. Like, so many questions just about how realistic it is for me, who doesn't spend a bunch of time at home anymore.
To answer one of those questions, in the trailer, when they're in the airport, the guy is charging it.
Is he?
Yeah, there's a cable coming out at the bottom.
Okay, I'm going to look at the trailer again.
Which is a really weird, like, considering actors seem to be suggesting that the tablets were actually dummy units, and thus they weren't actually playing on them. Spoilers. It seems really weird for Nintendo to be like, we're going to include showing a guy charging this dummy device. unless they're like showing that it is chargeable. When they're in the airport and he's sitting on the floor next to the very attractive lady. Is she attractive? I can't even remember. I just remember she's a lady.
It's a trailer with actors. I'm pretty sure she's attractive.
Yeah.
Oh, he has got a wire coming out the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go then. Can I charge it on a plane?
Yeah, this is what people were worried about, is because assuming that that's a charging cable coming out of the bottom, it seems awkward to charge it whilst using the kickstand.
Because the cable would be
weirdly sticking out.
You wouldn't be able to.
Like L connector. Well, if the cable is actually like at a 90-degree angle, so that it can sort of plop in for charging, but still be flush to the device, you could still use the kickstand. It depends on how they do that.
I don't really care about that, because I don't think I'm ever going to use it in the way where the, he like takes them off the side and leans Same. Back and uses them like two Wiimotes or whatever. I don't think I'm ever going to use it like that.
Yeah, the only way I'd ever use a controller like that's at home. If I'm playing this thing on the road, it's staying as a unit. Like, it's staying intact as, like, a handheld.
Even if you're playing two-player Mario Kart in the back of a VW?
That guy, the guy on the right playing it, looks insane. When in the trailer, like, he makes this fucking face. Like he's so homicidal or something. Like, I guess it's Mario Kart. yeah. But I mean, like, I
sorry, I was selected it.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring it up.
I was so excited for this trailer. Like, after I've seen it, I showed it to my dad. And, I was showing it, and he's like, "Oh, this is cool." We got to that part, and my dad's like, "What the fuck's wrong with that guy playing Mario Kart?" And he rewinds it, and then he shows it to me, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're right. He looks a bit homicidal." My dad's like, "Yeah, what?" And it just reminded me of playing Double Dash with my dad, because my dad has no room to talk about people being homicidal playing Mario Kart, because, well, he's homicidal when he plays Mario Kart. But yeah, there was a rumor. I don't know if you guys saw the rumor about the battery life.
Okay.
I've seen so many rumors and speculations. Yeah. I don't even know what to believe anymore.
The one from, I think it's Laura Dale. Apparently she's... Mm-hmm. Reputable when it comes to her leaks or whatever. But, you know, people say... Anyone can just say they're reputable. I guess we'll see if it's true. That the battery life on the tablet is 3 hours.
I've heard 3 to 5.
How long's the battery life on the 3DS and the Vita and stuff?
Like the Vita's about 4.
Oh, okay. Well, then
the 3DS can be between... It depends how much you use it, because the battery wears out over time, I guess. I think it's supposed to be about 3 hours if you're not using... 3 hours? 8 hours if you're not using 3D. Because I think the 3D drains your battery faster.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, because it's displaying basically two things at once.
So
I would expect it to be at about the 4 to 5.
Hmm. But actually, that doesn't sound as bad as I thought, actually. That, comparing it to other... I mean, it's not great, but comparing it to other devices... It makes sense.
Particularly when you think, okay... sure, it's only 3 to 5 hours on time in portable mode. How often are you in portable mode, nowhere near any charging facility, for more than 3 hours?
Yeah, you're in some fucking desert wasteland at that point, you know? Like, So cool. Okay.
That's, so I'm not worried about that.
That alleviates... I think a lot of people will see that. A lot of people will see that... like, little quip or the headline and not realize the battery life on other devices that they use. Like,
yeah, as an out-of-context thing, it sounds awful.
Because that's three hours of constant, non-stop playing. Like, I think a lot of people take that out of context and go, "Oh, Nintendo's fucked already!" Like, you know, that kind of thing. And because I did see those comments on Gaff and Reddit and stuff. Like, but putting it in context, it is a lot more calming. But
I did see someone the other day made a poll on Twitter that was like, "Are you going to buy a Nintendo Switch? Yes, no, wait until there's a price drop." And so many people were like, "Wait until there's a price drop." And I don't know if it was like a trick answer, because we don't know what the price is. It could be like...
Yeah.
That was definitely... that had to be some kind of... Yeah. There are people already, without even knowing a price, a launch... Like, people are already, like, declaring it DOA, like, and it's like, man, what the hell?
It's because it's Nintendo, and Nintendo's for children.
This is...
Speaking of, how many children did you see in the trailer?
Zero.
Not a single... well, I mean, all of them were children, technically, but no children.
I've watched that trailer a lot. I think the most interesting part of it to me... is that
people... Are you going to say the basketball game?
that people have rooftop parties.
Apparently those are a thing, yes.
and it's customary to just yell through your friend's window to invite
them. No, they weren't even yelling. They were just playing loud music. She goes to the window and her friend's like, "Hey."
And then she's like, well, I kind of want to go, but I really want to play Mario. thank God for Nintendo. And
literally, even if I had an NX and that happened to me, I'd be like, sorry, I'm busy. I'm like playing Mario.
I'd walk up to the curtains or to the window. They'd wave at me. I'd wave back and then just shut the curtains.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go back to my Mario.
I'm so not going to use the NX for what it's made for. I'm going to be like, oh, I've got a train journey. I guess I'll play like Skyrim on the train, and then I won't play it with anyone else.
But it's the sort of thing where if you use it as a portable, great.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it doesn't seem like you're missing out too much by just leaving it in the dock. And I like that there is that option. Like it could be your home console and it just stays in the dock forever.
And it basically means that every game is going to have off-screen play, which makes me so happy, because all I want to do is play fucking what? Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei.
What? How will it...
Because you can
just... Oh, right.
Because,
yeah,
like, not every Wii U game can be played on the Wii U gamepad, but yeah, it'll have to, and I can play it in bed, like, always. I'm going to be so happy.
That's, like, one of the most exciting things, and that's why, like, I hope they just kind of disable any future handheld production, because like what's exciting to me about the Switch, like what got me so pumped, and like the first like text I was sending immediately was like, oh man, like you could literally just treat this as a portable device. You never have to plug this to it. You don't have to own a TV to play this. Like, that's amazing. So it's essentially a handheld, or it's a console, it's whatever you want it to be. But then it's like, man, Nintendo has some of the best handheld games on the market, like, period. Like, there's just no arguing it. They have amazing IPs and properties on their handhelds. Like, and the first one that comes to mind for me is Monster Hunter. So, like, oh my god. Like, having a fucking Monster Hunter on this thing that's not the 3DS. And I'm not ripping. I like Monster Hunter 4. I didn't play it a lot. Because, like, it's just weird. I can't play it on that. Despite me liking it a lot. I think it works.
Yeah,
it doesn't
not
work on the 3DS. But having a Monster Hunter either on my TV or on this device with, like, proper dual analog with, like, oh my god, it has me so excited. Having a full-blown Fire Emblem sequel or having a full-blown Pokemon game on the Switch where Game Freak is allotted more power to make these games. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to make their next Pokemon RPG look like Dragon Quest XI, but like just knowing that there's a pretty good like likelihood that the next big Pokemon generation might be on the Switch is like, yo, like, please don't make another 3DS. Please keep it to the Switch. Like, because Nintendo always peppers their handhelds with lots of games. There's no doubting that. Their handheld lineups are always stronger typically than their console lineups. It's happened in the last two gens. The DS and the 3DS are powerhouses when it comes to their libraries. So, like, combining, like, oh my god! Like they could have potentially one of the best lineups on a device ever if they bring over their handheld devs, bring over their first party console titles. Even if they don't have third party support, which they do, and we'll talk about that, they could destroy. Because the Wii U the Wii U's first party games are amazing. They're probably the best first party games of this gen. Like it. What is the Switch? What is the Switch? By the way,
to be fair, are there any third party gens?
Well, I'm just saying, compared to like Xbox and Sony's first party games, Nintendo's blows. Yeah, like, there's just no argument there. And as much as I'm a big Sony fan, and I love Bloodborne. Bloodborne's like a second party.
Second party, yeah. I suppose a lot of Nintendo's is also second party.
But man, like, just bringing them over, like bringing Pokemon, all that together on the one device, and being like, look, this is the ultimate device if you want to play Fire Emblem, Mario, Donkey Kong, Monster Hunter, Zelda, you know, like, fuck.
Dude, I would get to play Fire Emblem on the TV.
Yes!
The idea of that is, like, amazing. I want that so bad.
It's so exciting. This is, like, this announcement has made, and, like, I know we mentioned, like, already the haters, like, the people who obviously want to declare Dead on Arrival because of Nintendo. For years, my cousin has kind of been like that. He's kind of been disenchanted with Nintendo because he's a big Zelda fan, but he wasn't a big fan of Skyward Sword. And so he's kind of, he didn't buy a Wii U. So he's been kind of off with Nintendo. And I was apprehensive to talk to him about the Switch because, like, he's always kind of instantly negative about whatever they do. And he's already trying to find a place to pre-order it. Like, he saw the trailer and he's like, I need to have that. Like, this is exciting. This is, like, not, people want to use this word all the time when they talk about Nintendo. They immediately want to use the word gimmicky. And, like, there's no gimmicks here, like, at all. Like, there's no, like, innovation's not gimmick. So, like, when I look at the Switch, I think, like, oh, there's no weird, there's nothing weird about this. This is, like, totally iterating on the idea that so many people have tried to hammer home with, like, remote play or, like, you know, second screen play or off-screen play or whatever, and just totally smashing it into one device, not having to rely on Wi-Fi, not having to rely on some second-rate experience when it comes to this type of concept. And, like, oh, it's so exciting. Oh, I'm so excited for it.
I have seen a lot of, like, I've been browsing Reddit a lot more lately. And there's a lot of people on the PlayStation Reddit, the Xbox Reddit, the PC Reddit, and on the new Switch Reddit of people being like, I don't normally buy Nintendo, I just tend to avoid Nintendo because gimmicks and whatnot, but this might actually make me want to buy one of their things as my second console, or my first console if you're a PC gamer, and you're just like, I want the IPs. Because there's just one device, plays everything, and yes, they're good games.
I like the idea that people are like, I'll definitely buy Overwatch if that happens on the Switch.
Yeah, I will.
I'll definitely buy Final Overwatch Fantasy 15 if it happens on Switch.
So speaking of that, in the trailer, we got some glimpses of some third-party stuff, which is always the big question when it comes to Nintendo.
Sort of.
They showed us their list of partners, their first-party partners. We saw a glimpse of them of him playing Skyrim on the Switch in the trailer.
So before we go too far into this, I keep saying sort of, and the reason I keep saying sort of is because it was hinted at in the Japanese version of the trailer, but people have sort of pieced it together anyway from pixel hunting, that it's very likely that the videos of gameplay were put in post because the devices were dummy devices. So you can't base performance on anything like that, but similarly, just because you saw a video of Skyrim, there's no guarantee that Skyrim will show up on...
Well, Bethesda have already said, like, oh, it might not happen, like, we don't know yet. And I'm like, why the fuck did you give them Skyrim as your example, then? Like, of all things.
Yeah.
Give them Fallout 4 or something, I don't know.
But what that tells...
At the very least, they have a lot of
what that tells me interest from the trailer is that, like, well, Bethesda signed on as a partner. And what that tells me, Bethesda confirm and deny whatever. What that tells me from Nintendo's perspective is that, like, that's the approach they're taking on their end, is that they want a dialogue with all of these third parties. They want that audience.
All of these new
people. I would like to read you a bit of an interview from 2013. The time for convincing publishers to develop and support for the Wii U has long passed, Pete Hines said. Pete Hines is the PR and marketing guy at Bethesda. Okay. The box is out. You have to do what Sony and Microsoft have been doing with us for a long time, and it's not every time we met with them we got the answers we wanted, but they involved us very early on from the talk with folks like Bethesda and Gearbox, blah, blah, blah. You have to spend an unbelievable amount of time talking to developers. If you're going to just decide we're going to make a box and this is how it's going to work and you should make games for it, well, no is my answer. So that was his thoughts on the Wii U. So something changed. Something major changed somewhere.
They made it super easy to port for, apparently.
Well, that's the rumor, but...
That's like the oldest rumor about the NX.
If Nintendo have, like, learned that they need third-party support to get other people on board that aren't, like, hardcore Nintendo fans, then that's good.
Yep.
And if we can just go for a generation without people saying, oh, Nintendo suck at third-party support, I would be the happiest person in the world. Like,
it's worth noting that historically, the Wii U did have third-party support for, like, 6 months, and then because of poor sales, it all sort of vanished. So, the Switch kind of has to do reasonably well for that massive list of third-party support to continue, but I don't see why it shouldn't.
It seems like they've been a lot more clear with their marketing this time,
yes,
anyway. Where they weren't with the Wii U, particularly. I love the Wii U. I think, actually, the more I think about it, the Wii U is probably my favourite console ever.
It's jolly.
But...
Well, the Switch is basically the Wii U, but better.
Yeah, pretty much. It's got Zelda on it, so I'll buy it.
Do you guys think we'll see? This might be a dream of mine. You guys think we'll... Well, it's not really a dream. I'm sure it's going to happen. No, we'll...
Animal Crossing? No, it's done.
Do you think we'll see a port of Sun and Moon to the Switch? Do you think it would...
I think it depends on how much you use the touchscreen.
Do you think it would be like the enhanced, like, you know how they, well, they didn't do one for X and Y, but you know, they always have the third game, typically in the, like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Crystal.
Yeah. Crystal, yellow, platinum.
Yes. Do you think we'd see like Eclipse or some stupid shit like that as the Switch port?
I don't know.
They said they are working on something for it, though, didn't they, already?
They said they're working on something, but it since we don't even know if the screen is a touch screen, so we don't know what sort of functionality Pokemon
depending
Sun and Moon requires,
depending on what they do, like for the whatever port. I mean, I'm sure, but touch screen functionality is something that can be done with on screen UI. I mean. We're talking about now that if it would be on a console, they're afforded more screen space as well for UI things. Because, like, I mean, that's always been one of the nice things about 3DS games in general is that all of the UI clutter gets defaulted to the touchscreen. So, like, you know, everything is there. But, I mean, like, on HD games and stuff like that, it doesn't really matter because there's so much real estate to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could, like, put stuff like that on the touchscreen. Because, I mean, they made Pokemon games on one screen before. That has me excited, though. Yeah. That has me excited. Speaking of excitement, we got to see some familiar games in this Switch trailer, but with very unfamiliar things. We saw footage of Splatoon and Mario Kart 8. Presumably, Splatoon and just Mario Kart 8.
They had trousers, Bill. They had trousers.
The thing that I immediately noticed about Splatoon was, oh my god, they've got different hair.
The hair was immediately. I didn't even look at their legs. I was like, oh man, look at that hair. Like, dope. Sick. What is this?
Splatoon.
That has me super excited because these two games specifically are arguably Nintendo's biggest draws online. I think like Splatoon was just such a breakout hit, and it's still the top played shooter in Japan. It's still a huge draw for multiplayer gaming, but unfortunately, yeah, like support has died down and Splatfests are over, and you know, like, there's not that there isn't a draw to turn it on and play it again, but there isn't as big of a draw, I think, with other games coming out and like Overwatch and other things to play. Like, Splatoon kind of fell to the wayside, I think, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me anyway, and like seeing it in front and center, kind of in the Switch trailer, and like
that massive seeing tournament.
It yes, that's what I was trying to phrase that, like seeing them kind of look at it as like this is an esport to us, even though it isn't yet, like that they want to take it seriously, it means that Splatoon's life, well, we all knew Splatoon wasn't going away, but seeing that it's such a prominent part of the Switch trailer and seeing that there's obviously a new one coming to this thing, probably sooner than anyone expects. Whether or not it's a sequel, a direct sequel, or just like Splatoon, whatever. I don't have. There's no cool way to subtitle
Splatoon Definitive Edition.
Definitive Edition.
Mario Kart 8 Definitive.
Everything.
Well, yeah, they're all definitive because they have a massive library of great Wii U games that no one played. And if you can super quickly port them, you're like, yeah, we've got 50 games at launch. Or launch window. Yeah.
So. Bring over Bayonetta. Bring over Hyrule Warriors. Bring over Mario Maker. Bring over Mario Kart. Bring over Splatoon. Bring over Smash. Bring over Pokken. Bring over everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
The thing that I noticed about Splatoon, though, is that they show a map very, very briefly.
It's a different map. It's a new map.
Yes, not in the game at the minute. So,
oh, right.
It's a new map. So that to me would say more of a sequel than like a... I don't think you could do like a port of just Splatoon because so much has already happened within like the community and stuff in terms of Splatfests. I don't think you could just do that again. I think it'd have to be a second one.
I'm very curious what it will be. I'm on the fence of that they're both ports, like an enhanced port with like extra for incentive for like, oh, what should be my reason for playing this again?
The reason for Mario Kart 8, by the way, is King Boo and what looks like jewel items.
Yes.
Which like brings back fond memories to Double Dash, which is exciting for me because there's no reason I can't store a shell in this damn glove box.
I mean, there is no glove box, but yeah.
Well, you know, if you're driving the Wario car or whatever, there's a glove box in there.
Yeah. The pimp mobile.
Whether they're ports or sequels or whatever, what's exciting is there's going to be fresh Splatoon and fresh Mario Kart content, which were easily some of my best memories with the Wii U is playing that online with you guys. So, like, being able to do that again with new stuff, like new courses and Mario Kart, new characters, the dual item thing. Like, Mario Kart 8 was my game of the year that year. So, like, that game was remarkable. So, just building on top of it, whether it's a sequel, whether it's a port, whatever, I don't even care. Same with Splatoon. Like, I'm just so pumped. Like, to be able to, for them to put a shot in the arm of both of those games again is super, super exciting. As is the prospect of their, I assume, it was part of the rumors, there being a Mario Maker port, which is exciting as well, because I really like Mario Maker. And
I wouldn't be surprised, and it'll be the third version of that game that I still won't buy.
Yeah.
So.
That's such a big money maker for them. That game did really, 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 really well. Although I think I would rather them hold off on a port of Mario Maker and just make a new one with like 3D World support, like being able to make a 3D World level.
Yeah.
I would buy it really if that was a thing. Like if I could make Mario 64 levels in a game, that would be amazing. I'd totally do that. But
oh, it'd be unbelievable.
Before we get too far away, just because Splatoon reminded me. It firstly showed that there's this weird, well, not weird, but like the local online connection thing that there is also on the 3DS between everyone in those teams.
They showed they showed that in when they were playing basketball, which was before the Splatoon thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the question I have is similar to the Vita remote play, you have to have a Wi-Fi connection, which defeats the point. How easy is it going to be to play something like Splatoon, which is an online multiplayer game, on the go?
I wonder,
because sure that there were four people playing in that hotel hall together, but
I don't know.
Were they connected to some actual?
Do you mean
game
like connectivity-wise, or like just comfort level?
Connectivity.
Okay.
Do you think it's just local play and they were playing against AI or something? Or
That's an interesting question, because like, I think we talked about it in Discord or whatever about like the fact that multiplayer games really like unless you're connected to a hotspot or Wi-Fi or whatever, what have you, multiplayer games on the go are kind of useless. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know. That's one thing. Obviously, that's like that for any multiplayer game on the handheld, like Killzone on the Vita or whatever, which was popular. Like, obviously, you need to be connected to Wi-Fi. But for them, maybe they were doing like a. How many people were in that circle?
Four.
Maybe they were doing like a 2v2 or something.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. If that's even possible, maybe it's possible in the Switch version of Splatoon.
I mean, it's possible on the Wii U version. Play a custom game.
Hey, can we say that wishlist for Splatoon 2 or Splatoon or whatever we've decided to call it?
Triple Diamondback.
I just want to say, wishlist, let me have a team. Let me have a team of four people so we can just go and play games together.
Give me a party,
rather
Nintendo,
than being like,
give me a party.
Oh man, it's been like 4 years since we've been on a team together. So, that'd be nice.
Or make it just generally easier to connect to your friends. It's like your friends online.
You know, what's exciting about that, actually now that I think about it, Kinross, with the people sitting in a circle playing or whatever, is that there's never really been actual local Splatoon. Like, if you want to play local co-op in Splatoon, you're shooting balloons.
That's true. Now you bring four Wii U's into a room.
Yeah.
And
see, but now with the beauty of the Switch, you can just take the little portable tablet with you, and now everyone's enjoying Splatoon in their flat. I use flat because you guys are British. Now they're all.
Thanks. they were in a hotel room, but thanks. I presume you mean on like the casual level. None of this professional. We're gonna have chalkboard where we're drawing
not
up
these
plans.
Guys. I met you guys, like not those guys.
Those guys. They know what they're doing.
I could be pro MLG Splatoon player if I wanted to be.
Only if you can get a team.
That's my problem.
Do you think?
Well, I know that this isn't how it works, but I'd like to think that the way that the tournaments worked were eight people tried to join the same lobby and they were never on the same team. Rather than them doing it through a custom game.
Yes.
I think that was the thing, because I was like, we've got actual tournaments for Splatoon in the UK, but I think you need a team of four, and I only know three people that play Splatoon. And we all use the same weapon, so we would literally be the worst team.
Yep. Oh, man. I want this thing. I want this thing a lot.
Yeah. I'd quite like one.
I'm excited for it. What are your... So that we've seen glimpses of the Splatoon port, and while we're on the subject of ports or slash sequels or whatever they may be, well, obviously they're going to put Smash Brothers on this thing.
Yes.
Obviously. It's almost a give at this point.
I feel a bit bad for Sakurai, because I feel like he's only just finished Smash 4.
Yeah.
That's why people think that it will just be an enhanced version where it's the same game with a couple of extra maps and a couple of heroes.
That's what I was gonna say. What characters do you think we would see? Because obviously there would be new characters.
Snake.
Do you think we'll see Inklings?
Ice Climbers.
Crom.
Ice Climbers.
Wolf.
Crom.
Crom. He's in there.
Right.
Crom. I don't know.
I just want to play Smash as an Inkling. I want to play Smash as an Inkling so freaking bad. That's all I want in my life.
There'll probably be some new version of Pokemon Trainer. With the starters from Sun and Moon.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
More Fire Emblem characters. That's what I'm asking for. Because when Corrin got announced, people got really, really mad about it. So.
What, because there's so many freaking Fire Emblem characters?
There's six. Sorry. There's six Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah, but they're all the same character.
But they're not.
I mean, Lucina and Martha.
Well, yeah, they are.
And Roy and Ike are quite similar.
No, they're not.
Although Roy's DLC.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not. Not even almost.
They're both dudes. They both have swords. They're both from Fire Emblem.
Yeah, enough but one set. Has the power of fire. Like, one actually has a sword that spits out fire. Right. I don't know who I'd want to Smash.
There's only, like, four Mario characters, so...
That's such a lie. That's such a lie.
The question I have is whether Smash is a given.
The problem for me with Smash is if they make a new version, I know for a fact that they're going to take out or change my main, because they have done it in every single version apart from when they made Melee, because Roy was my main in Melee, and then they took Roy out for Brawl, so I started maining Zelda and Sheik, and then they changed Zelda and Sheik to be two separate characters in Smash 4, and now I've got Shulk, and I'm scared that they're going to take him out. I've got to be honest.
Just be glad that you didn't main Snake.
They're going to take Shulk out, and they're going to put in a Xenoblade X character.
Yeah, just put Shulk. In Cross from fucking Xenoblade Chronicles X.
What if they switched out Shulk for Ryan? Would that be acceptable?
That'd be okay. Even though Ryan could control, like, complete shit, and I'd be like, I'm never going to play any other character, because I love Ryan so much.
They should port Valkyria Chronicles to the Switch. Sorry, I'm looking at my games. Mm-hmm.
Basically, I have an image for you, Bill.
Mm.
It's called, anyone else want to see this game on the Switch? I'll post it in Skype. Here you go.
That's pretty much, yeah. It's
because
going to
the
a lot
subreddit
now,
is
you know?
Full of people going, does anyone want to see this on the Switch? And then posting a picture of, like, Fire Emblem or F-Zero or Super Mario Galaxy HD. Or...
I was reading an article that was, like, five games that will make the NX a success. And it's, like, obvious stuff like Overwatch and Pokemon, the Pokemon MMO. And then they just, like, number four on the list is Fire Emblem Warriors, and whoever made this list, I fucking love them. That would be amazing. It'd be the best thing ever.
Oh my god! A Fire Emblem Musou game would be incredible!
Right?
Oh, just kill me! Just kill me now!
And maybe the Switch can actually have
Oh my god, the visual, oh, it'd be so good. You know, I was thinking in my head, this is talking off topic, because when they announced at Tokyo Game Show, they announced like the Warriors All-Stars game or whatever that combines a bunch of them in a one universe, which has me excited because I'm a big fan of the Warriors games.
Mm-hmm.
I got thinking in my head, like, oh man, like what would be a good Warriors game to make? Because like, they're making Berserk, which fits, they made Gundam, which fits, they made Zelda, which people didn't think would fit, but fits. They made Arslan, which I haven't played too much of. I don't own it, but they made Dragon Quest. Like they do really well, like licensing out games to the Warriors franchise. And then I didn't even think of Fire Emblem until you just said it, Abby. And like that would be so freaking cool.
We still wouldn't put Crom in it though.
They should make a Pokemon one. We're just going around beating up Zubats.
People, oh man, that would be cathartic.
Yeah.
After playing freaking
Pokemon Go.
I've seen people recommend like they make a Mario Warriors game too, which would actually be interesting. I think it would actually work. Fighting Goombas and Koopas and stuff.
Yeah, I think
like that.
There's
obviously
enough enemy variety in there that you could.
Yeah,
do.
Like you're not punching through 100 of them at once, but just the idea of a. I mean, it would be really strange though, like because the way the Warriors games work is like you know you're. You're on the battlefield and you have like generals and stuff like that, and they're always shouting commands at you. And like, there's this larger story unfolding on the battlefield. Like, like when you're playing Hyrule Warriors, you know, you have people speaking to, like, oh, they're taking the Western Tower, or you know, whatever. Like, just having like Luigi,
like Mario,
having Luigi.
Yeah, Luigi's being like a general. He's like.
And they don't have any dialogue. Like, there's no, like, like they don't speak dialogue, so it'll just come up, like, wow! Like, in the bottom of the screen, there's this message, like, oh, Mushroom Kingdom Western Tower is under attack. Wow! And you gotta, oh my god, I want it so bad. Oh my god. Final Fantasy would work really well as a Warriors game, too. But to knock it off on too much of a Warriors tangent, yeah, Fire Emblem Warriors would be great. That'd be really cool. You'd be excited for a game that's probably never gonna happen now. Fuck.
Do you want to know my biggest problem with the Switch? Is that yes. I see so much potential in it that I am terrified of what my game of the year will be forever now. Because it's clearly going to be Zelda. But what if there's something better than Zelda? I think I might die. But
like,
I can see it happening.
Oh my god, Kinross. Are you excited about a game still?
Yeah, Zelda. Have you not
seen me, bloody...
Do you not know who I am?
You've been there when I've been watching these Zelda trailers, and I'm like, man, the music is so good. I want this game. We've been on this before.
Speaking of what game of the year could possibly be, and obviously, you know, this probably won't come out release year, but how good does that Mario game look, huh? In the trailer, how good does that look?
If it's anything like. I know everyone's like, man, I really want Mario Galaxy 3. I'm like, I want another Mario 64 or another Mario Sunshine.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes.
So.
And that is what the vibe I'm getting from that video. Or from a snippet we got in that trailer of that new 3D Mario. I'm not seeing anything regarding, it looks like he's in a world or a level or whatever. Like for Mario 64, there are, oh, that looks so good.
I didn't play much of it, but it looked a lot like 3D World to me. So I thought that, because I'd played a little bit of it but never finished it, I thought that it was just a straight 3D World level.
3D World's levels take on kind of a... what's the word I'm looking for? They kind of take on, not an isometric view, but they are more of stages than... what you would expect from Galaxy or Sunshine or Mario or Mario 64. Like you have like your Super Mario World map, mm-hmm. and 3D world where you're advancing from stage to stage. It's not like a.
It's not like an open world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like what you expect from Galaxy. I mean, in Galaxy in 64, you're jumping from stages, but you're doing it more and more of a 3D plane, and it feels more like a universe. No Galaxy pun intended. Like everything in Mario 64 is all interconnected in this castle. It's all part of this thing. In 3D world, it's kind of like, oh, I got the overworld map. Let me move to my stage here. Oh, there's a little bonus to coin here or whatever. But the vibe I'm getting from the Switch Mario is that it is. Like Galaxy, like it is like Sunshine, like it is like 64, where like the camera angle is back to what I'd expect from Galaxy. It's like there's not like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it feels more like an adventure game, like an adventure platformer, like Yooka-Laylee or Banjo-Kazooie. Like the vibe I'm getting, like it's very distinct because like. They're very clearly stages in 3D World. And I like 3D World a lot. I love that game. It makes me so happy. But I definitely get different vibes from the footage I saw of the Mario game that's on the Switch trailer than I got from playing 3D World.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that a lot. That's super exciting.
Yeah.
I want a new Mario game that I enjoy. Because I feel like most Mario games lately have been 2D side-scrolling platformers, which have never been my favorite type of Mario game anyway. My favorite Mario game has always been Mario 64, and I don't think they've ever quite gotten past that for me. I like the fact that they had these worlds that were basically you go into them once and it's different from the second time you go into them because things have changed, because you can get different stars now or whatever. Like, just I love Mario, having like a Mario reusable 64, world, I guess.
Mario 64 is such a. I don't think they'll. That game is so genius, like for its time too. Especially when you think about when it was made. Like that game is so fucking good. Like,
I don't think Ken Ross agrees just, particularly.
Oh
man.
Sorry, Ken.
Mario 64 it's fine. Is legitimately one of my favorite games of all time. I absolutely love it. I think part of it is that I did grow up with that game. Like, it was one of the very first video games that I ever played. But I still look back on it, and I think that was a really well-designed game. Even, like, in spite of its time frame or whatever.
I agree in the sense that I see why people enjoy it, why it holds a place for people, and that at the time, it was a very impressive
I still think it's product. Kind of impressive now, though. Like, not just because of the time it was made. I think it's just a very impressive game because of its world design and the way that it, like, reuses things and just, I don't know. I just think it's a good game.
It is clever in its way. I just think that because I don't have the nostalgia factor, that it's less so for me, and I have a lot of issues with that game, particularly in the world of controls. If they were to make a new Mario 64 with, good controls, like a 3D world controls, which are good, then I'm sure I'd love it.
I still think the controls are good for Mario 64, though.
I know, they're awful.
I don't think they are. I disagree. Massively disagree.
They're awful.
In your opinion.
Or I'm awful.
In your opinion. You have to say, in my opinion.
Yeah. I said in the beginning, I understand why people like it. But from my point of view.
Repeat the whole thing again. Go on.
You're all wrong. No.
Oh, Kinross died.
No, I didn't die.
Oh, he's still alive.
I didn't shove a pin in me.
Wait, was it a pin? I thought it was a pen.
No, a pin.
Oh, I thought that was just your P-A-N. Accent. Sorry.
I'd be more concerned if he stabbed himself with a pen.
That's a sharp pen. Yeah. That's an old-time pen.
Where the fuck do you have a pin?
Somebody... To access money from his ATM.
I don't know why I had this pin on my desk, to be honest.
It was just there, stabbed myself with it a couple times.
Yeah, I pick stuff up off my desk and like play with them while I'm doing stuff like this, because I just have so much weird little stuff on my desk. Like, I have, like, okay, on my desk currently, this is off topic, obviously. Obviously. Eventually, though, on my desk will be a Switch, so it's not totally off topic. But on my desk currently is a receipt for Battlefield 1. Mm-hmm. It is an old bobby pin. I don't know why I still didn't throw these away. Obviously, they're not mine. An old push pencil. Did you ever use a push pencil?
Mechanical pencil.
Where, like,
where you push the eraser and it sort of comes out the other end.
It's the pencil where it has, like, a bunch of
lead,
like, things in them, mm-hmm, that have a point on them. And then when you wear that down,
the little plastic, the bottom, the little plastic,
yeah,
cartridges or, yeah, whatever, and you just keep cycling them through, and that's, you lose one, and you're like, well, yes, this pencil's
the
now
useless. The whole system's fucked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is sitting here, it's half empty, so this one's fucked. I have a Lord of the Rings playing card.
Which, what card? I'm gonna guess. I have guess. Jack of Clubs.
Actually, this is the trading card game. Uh-oh. When did I ever own anything? Like, I don't know where I got this.
Well, I can't.
But it's been sitting, on my desk. I have a business card for some lady at Lowe's Home Improvement Store. I guess she tried to offer me a job once.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, lady.
I mean, you could give her a shout out. You do have her name and email address or phone number right there.
Thanks, Bonnie. I'm not gonna say your last name, Bonnie, just in case someone wants to look you up. And I have 8 pennies, and that's my desk.
I wish I had 8. I can tell you what's on my desk. I've got 12 cans of Dr. Pepper, a bowl of Reese's Pieces, a Vive, a Ditto, and my consoles.
That sounds like a good desk, though. Dr. Pepper, Reese's Pieces, a Vive. That's much better than 8 pennies and an empty pencil. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The Vive isn't his, by the way. He doesn't.
No, the Vive is not mine. I don't own a Vive. But it is on my desk, so
it's pretty much yours then.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I can't run it.
You know, no one else is going to claim these 8 pennies. These 8 pennies are mine, just like that Vive is yours. You know,
no, I know exactly who would argue that the Vive is not mine.
So, as an owner of the Vive, Kinross, what do you think of the VR future? Is anyone in your house jealous of you owning the Vive? You know,
No.
Anyway, is there anything else on the Switch that you guys got in a tank?
Oh crap, there was something. Because they had Amiibo next to the dock.
Yeah.
People are like, well, there's clearly Amiibo support in some fashion.
Yeah, obviously. They would be insane, suicidal to abandon it after selling so many, yeah, of them.
But it's also been useful for people working out dimensions of the actual thing, because they know how tall,
yeah,
Amiibo are.
Yeah.
So it seems like quite a compact little box. What do you feel about the aesthetic of the dock?
I think it's fine.
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know where I'm going to put it, because I have my TV sort of is on the same level as my console, so no matter where I put it, if, yeah, I have this current setup, it's going to be in the way of something. So that's my issue currently, but I'm sure I will figure that out before March next year.
It's only 5 months.
I like it. I'm very interested on what the inside of
it. How did you drop it, Bill? You put it down like an hour ago.
It's been in my hand the whole time.
Hashtag by Metro.
Because you're sliding this tablet in there. I'm really curious what's there inside. Like, is there any danger? I mean, because it seems like every new hardware iteration, there's always that one scary thing that, like, you have to avoid doing. Like, with the 3DS, with the screen scratching, yeah, when you closed it or whatever. And, like, is there anything at all where I'm accidentally going to put that tablet inside of that dock and it's going to fuck my screen up? Like,
so people have obviously been CSIing the crap out of it. And what they think that they see is that on basically the front inside bit, it's like a rubber, or a rubberized face to protect the screen.
Mm,
and okay, that at the back, there's two sets of grooves that they think slot into something at the back of the tablet to make sure that it slides in place properly. Like, there's no way you can put it in wrong and damage the connector at the bottom.
Yeah.
So they think they've made it idiot-proof.
Cool.
So
that's some good sleuthing.
I'm going to prove them wrong. People
are. Yeah, there is. There have been some very good sleuthings. Like, people have figured that the Joy-Cons probably have motion controls in them based on the fact that they've got IR ports on the top. And that the tablet seems like it's got an IR sensor. But that could also just be an auto brightness
thing. They're gonna port Wii games to this thing.
Possibly. Or at least virtual console them.
That's what I meant. Sorry. I'm not port. Like a virtual console, yeah.
What else did they discover? I can't think now. And that annoys me. Because there were some really impressive things. The investors meeting is tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, this has nothing to do with the investors meeting, but the first thing I'm buying for this thing is not a video game, it's a screen protector.
Yep. I always do.
I think I've expressed my screen protector woes on this show before. I'm very bad with them, but I'm very obsessed with making sure I have one for everything. Except for my phone. I had one on my phone, and then it came off, and then I haven't put one back on, because, like, I'm past that period with my phone now where I don't care. I just toss it. It's like, after 6 months of having my phone, it just becomes, well, whatever. These things are resistant, though. I hope the screen on the... Thanks for looking at that, Karen. So funny to me.
The title is "The One Game We All Want for the Switch," with motion controls to compress and expand the bellows, of course. I've linked an image of Accordion Hero, and it's basically put little tiny piano keys on one of the Joy-Cons. It is amazing.
Speaking of that, like, making different... it's kind of similar to the rumor you were mentioning earlier, how there being different controllers for different things, but, like, different Joy-Con accessory, different Joy-Con, like, variants that you can slide in your tablet would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's lots to get excited about the Switch. I'm excited. I'm genuinely. I've been saying for a while, I just want to see this goddamn thing already. Because like I had faith Nintendo would do well with this thing. I didn't. After everything that happened with the Wii U, and I love the Wii U, but after everything that happened with it commercially, I'm like, they know they're not stupid people in that boardroom. They're not idiots. That they would come out with this. Whatever the NX would be, and it would be something that would get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And from where I'm sitting, it got my attention. From where I'm sitting, it got people in my family's attention who were maybe disenchanted with Nintendo. Friends, all of my friends are excited about it. All the text messages that I've exchanged, people are excited about it. Like, of course, you know, you're going to get internet snark. Internet snark is everywhere with anything, any announcement ever. They can announce the cure to the deadliest disease ever. And people, oh, well, what's the cat? You know, you're going to get some idiot, you know, being a dick about it. I just compared the Switch to the cure to the deadliest disease of all time, didn't I?
It's the thing we've all been waiting
for. I guess it can be. I'm super pumped to get this thing. They got a day one buyout of me immediately. Yeah.
I just need to know the price.
Barring it costing like $5,000, they've got a day one.
Yeah. What are you gonna say, Abby?
I just need to know how much it costs and what the launch lineup the is point, looking at. So I'm hoping Zelda because I want it, but
yep.
I don't know.
The only other thing that I found the thread. Notes talking about things of CSI'd. The only other thing that is now sort of obvious, but on the tablet side of the Joy-Cons, like how it slots in and whatever, that there are shoulder buttons. Like there are actual buttons on that thing. On the inside.
Right. Okay.
If I link you. Like when the hand is pulling it from the dock, the little black nub at the top, is almost certainly a button, because people were pushing it during the Mario Kart section.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm looking at a picture. Like on that picture of game that everybody wants picture, Kenros, that, like, black thing? Like, that the person's finger is on? Their pointer finger? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah.
Cool.
So there's a hell of a lot of different control schemes.
Interesting. I'm really interested to see what the functionality is going to be like. What's going to be like to play a game like with a buddy using like just one Joy-Con in your hand, like that little tiny thing.
Mm. If they do release like different versions, I hope that there is a slightly bulkier one for people with larger hands.
Yeah. It's small. It's like a little air conditioner remote. If you're just using that on its own.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. I think it's a really cool functionality regardless. I mean, obviously, it's not meant to be playing, like, every game ever with, like, just one side of the Joy-Con. But, like, for just popping off some Mario Kart where you don't need dual analog, you don't need, like, that's cool. Mm.
I find it interesting that there's both, because they showed both the Joy-Cons on their little dock, which is the one in the promo image. And then they also have the Pro Controller that they use during the Splatoon section. I find it interesting that there's two different things there.
I think at this point, Nintendo will always make a Pro Controller because of how much people love them.
Mm.
Because for some people, the Joy-Cons being on that like controller dock, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like the attachment that turns into a controller. There will always be some people who will find that uncomfortable, and like it's gonna feel different than an actual controller. So I think in Nintendo's best interest are people who like the, because like the Wii U Pro Controller is fantastic.
Yep.
And the battery life's great. So I don't know what the battery life would be like on that dock thing or whatever. It might be improved on the Pro Controller. I think it's in their best interest to still cater to those people because people love it, and I think it's not a bad thing to sell, especially if you want to play like two player on like your TV and like you don't want to split off the Joy-Con for that purpose and like, oh, I'll buy a second controller. There's no point in buying a second set of Joy-Cons because I don't have a reason to have that.
Yeah.
If they even sell them separate without the gamepad, I assume they would. They would have to if you lose one.
Yeah.
Yeah, take one off. You accidentally lose it in the river. You know, you play Mario Kart by the river.
You play Mario Kart while you're fishing.
You can now. Well, you always technically could with the 3DS and DS versions. But Mario Kart 8, you can't play Mario Kart 8 by the river until now. You know. So in case you drop one of them in there, I'm sure they'll assume the solar placements. But yeah, I like the way that Pro Controller looks. I assume that's what it will be called.
Yeah.
Switch Pro control.
I just want to live in a world where, because this thing is so portable, that you have, and that I live in a world where I have so many friends that would actually buy this thing. Also, enough friends. That there's 8 Switches in a room, and they're all playing 2-player Mario Kart. 16-player Mario Kart in one room. The hate would be real.
Oh, that'd be awesome. People would die.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be the end of some people's lives at night. That's when you get homicidal playing Mario Kart. That's when you make that face.
Going back probably to Ebby's very first point. Since it's cartridge based, I'd assume that you could slot your own cartridges into someone else's dock and it or into someone else's tablet and it just work.
I can't see why it wouldn't unless they were
unless it's
really wanting
3DS
it to be unsuccessful.
Making like SD card saves or whatever, like internal memory saves.
Oh, that's what you mean, like my progress carries over to it.
I thought you meant just like Xbox One sort of not working.
Oh, no. It links to the no. That's the biggest thing that I've actually seen people wanting from this thing is for eShop purchases to be linked to an account and not to hardware.
That would be pretty good.
Especially for like old virtual console games that you know they're going to release again, like just the original Super Mario Brothers that people have bought 15 times over various consoles and devices. It'd be nice like to buy that once and be like, I own Super Mario Brothers on my Nintendo account.
I must have bought like any of in my lifetime, seriously, about 10 copies of Mario 64 across different things. And I don't I can't play it at the minute because I don't have it for the Wii U, so...
Yeah, it would be nice to... Which I think they know that. That's one of the biggest criticisms of their entire infrastructure has been the way their account system has worked and the way their online system has worked. And I would believe that they would address it. I mean, they wheeled out the new account system
a couple of months ago.
Now, obviously, I don't think any past purchases will work retroactively, but I think they know. I think any future... Well, then again, it won't matter about your account, because if all games are going to be on the Switch anyway.
Here's what'd be nice, you've bought Virtual Console games. They are now linked to your... Or they now have an account linked to a console to which they are linked. So it infers, okay, you have bought Donkey Kong Country Returns or Metroid Prime Trilogy. And so this Nintendo account can have a discount on the Switch version of this Virtual Console game.
Well, that's what I would be okay with. That happened with some of the N64 games that got released on the Wii U.
On the Wii U, yes. Yeah.
Because you could pick
that up...
That
was only if you transferred the data from the Wii.
Yeah, it was like really fiddly, but if you did that, you could get a copy of Mario 64, I think, for £2. If you'd done all the things that you needed to. It's just I had no patience for it, so I didn't.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass.
Yes. Although I would like this to be the last generation where I have to buy a copy of Mario 64.
It could all end here. This could be
I'd like to stop buying that game now.
Well,
cool.
I hate to keep bringing up things, but we now live in a world of iterative consoles.
Yeah.
We assume that the bulk of the power, I guess, is done by the tablet and that the dock enhances it. So does that then mean then that 3-4 years down the line, Nintendo could stick with the Switch system and just release a more powerful tablet?
Can I just say, I don't like the world of iterative consoles at all. And I want them to not do it with the NX. I want to buy a console and be done for the generation. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's that. Like, that's all I want.
It's, I don't think... Excuse me, I'm sorry. Getting sick over here.
We all are.
Iterative... The funny thing about the... Well, I'm gonna say it's funny. I don't think these things are... I don't think this Pro, I don't think the Scorpio... I don't think these things are going to work. I don't think they're going to be huge successes in the eye... Like, in the grand scheme of the market. As much as I think Sony and Microsoft want them to be, Sony's done a piss poor... And I will relate this back to Switch, I promise. Sony has done a piss poor job of explaining to anybody why they should buy the Pro. People... The thing comes out in less than a month. And...
It's like 2 weeks.
Nobody, developers are coming out and saying, like, look, so people are asking about pro patches for Final Fantasy 15. And Tabata and the guys at Square come out and say, like, we don't have any plans to add a pro patch to this. Like we've done everything we could. We're happy with what we got out of the PS4 Power. Maybe in the long run, like, after everything's out, you know, we'll, you know, put out a patch that, you know, increases the visual fidelity or whatever. But, like, Titanfall 2, the devs came out and said, like, hey, look, they didn't give us much notice on this. There's really, aside from it looking a little better and running a tiny bit better, it's not going to be that much different. Like, there's not, unless you have a 4K HDR TV, this thing's dead in the water to me. And nobody knows what the Scorpio is going to be yet. So, I don't think we have to worry about it with the Switch. Because I think this idea that Sony and Microsoft are playing with are, like, so... niche that, like, but now that I think about it, Nintendo has done it with the 3DS
that's true
before
But I feel like they did that at a point where it actually made sense for people to start upgrading. Whereas, I don't feel like we're far enough into the generation for us to be buying whole new consoles, really. In my opinion.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but...
The thing about the... About the Pro, especially, is, like, I see a lot of, like... Because in Battlefield 1, there's some frame drops in the multiplayer and stuff like that. It's not nothing that bad. Never got drops, like, below 40. It's pretty solid, considering how the game looks. But the thing about Battlefield 1 is that it's really CPU-heavy. Because, like, that... In a 64-player match... Well, obviously, there's 64 players running around, but there's, like... Environmental destruction, like this destruction is permanent, like all of this data is stacking up, you know, like zeppelins are flying from the sky, blowing up, staying there for the whole match, they're not despawning, all this stuff's being piled on top of each other. That's all processed by the processor. And the CPU in the Pro is the same exact CPU that's in the regular PS4, just overclocked a tad. But it's not a new part. It's not a new GPU. So I don't know what the hell they're gonna do with this Pro that makes me want to buy it if I don't have a 4K TV. Which makes iterative consoles in my mind like, fun idea.
Sorry,
not so fun execution.
Since the Scorpio has a whole year, in theory, on the PS4 Pro, do you think that devs will actually have worked out stuff to do with it to make it worth purchasing? So, like, the PS4 Pro is less worth buying than the Scorpio.
Because what I see here is, like, this is going to obviously go across the entire spectrum of third-party developers as well. Like, at some point, it's because there's not that many first-party games that come out on PS4 a year. So, like, these developers who are working on Pro support or maybe haven't gotten a chance to start it yet but are starting it for multi-platform games or whatever, these things are also coming out on Xbox platforms. And, like, the Scorpio is an Xbox platform, and, like, they have enough time to... I'm sure they have dev kits for this thing already. And they have a lot more, like you said, time. They've been given a lot more notice. I think we'll see a much different picture with the Scorpio, especially because it is going to be more powerful on the Pro. Like this thing is pretty beefy from the leak specs. And I believe at this point, I believe any technical leak I see after seeing all the leak specs for the Pro being correct, a lot of the leaks for the NX being correct. And so I have no reason to disbelieve these Scorpio specs, and they're pretty freaking nice. But then that makes it even more complicated. And iterative consoles are not a good idea. It makes it even more complicated because now for multi-platform games that are coming out on the Scorpio and the Pro, and the Scorpio is more powerful than the Pro, so anybody who buys the Scorpio is going to be angry that the games coming out aren't taking advantage of the expensive hardware they just bought because they're multi-platform games and they need to maintain parity, because parity's been the big word this gen.
PC users.
Yeah. It's why a lot of... Yeah, exactly. That's the exact... Like, the PC users being mad because most of their games nowadays are console ports. They're games that have come over to PC. They don't take advantage of the full-power PC because they're developed for consoles first, and they don't get the same love that a typical PC release would get. In terms of settings, in terms of hardware optimization, whatever. So, like, you're going to get a lot of Scorpio users who are like, oh, man, like, you're holding... PS4 is holding my game back, or whatever. First-party games, obviously not, but... It's such a stupid fucking idea, because you're going to have two...
Iterative consoles would be a reasonable idea if multi-platform releases weren't such a common thing, I feel. Yeah. Like, it worked for the 3DS because there were a lot of... Like, there's not much multi-platform stuff going on there. Anything that was on the 3DS is only on the 3DS.
Yeah, it's its own ecosystem on the 3DS. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
it just annoys me. I wanted to get excited about it. Like, I kind of developed an optimism about iterative consoles. I kind of developed like a, oh man, no more generations. That means multiplayer games will last forever. You know, it solves backwards compatibility, but you don't need iterative consoles to solve backwards compatibility. You need smart motherfuckers in the boardroom going, hey, how about we make this new console backwards compatible? Yeah. Oh, okay. That solves backwards compatibility. Like, you know, get your dudes on it. Like,
I'd like to point out that you have officially gone full circle. because during our recording of Pokken, you were like, PS4 Pro is going to be garbage. It's a horrible idea. Why would anyone want this?
Yeah.
And then by the time probably the next episode of Permadeath came out, you're like, this is going to be the best idea ever. No issues with backwards compatibility. Everything just works. And now you're like, it's going to be awful.
Yeah. That was before we knew what the Pro was mm-hmm. you know? And seeing that this is like some half-cooked ass box, like the Pro especially. We don't know what the Scorpio is like, but like when I watched that Pro reveal, it was like watching, like I was waiting for the moment where like Mark Cerny would be like just tell me why I need it. It never happened. Never happened once. And it's cool for people. Like I don't think this thing's. I don't want to say this console's stupid. Like I don't think it's a stupid idea. Like for people with 4K TVs. Like, they should have something that takes advantage. Like, those TVs ain't cheap. They should have a PlayStation that gives them the experience that they earned by buying this TV. Like, there's no reason they shouldn't get that. And that's awesome. Same with HDR TVs. Even if it's a 1080p HDR set. Like, they got an HDR TV. They want to take advantage of it. Boom. Here's a reason to take advantage of it. But I think that's just that with the Pro and I try to be optimistic. I try thinking about it and like thinking of the pros. I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. No pun intended there. But the more I think about it, the more I sit on it after the Pro reveal, and the more I read statements from developers who aren't sure what they're even doing with the Pro, or like they aren't sure what's even in store for them in terms of like, oh, you know, yeah, I guess we'll have a patch out that take. Oh yeah, I guess whatever. Like, it's like. Like, I feel like Sony told nobody about this until, like, the week before. Like oh, by the way, there's all this stuff you gotta do now. And it's like, oh, okay. No. Okay. Well, I guess we'll make the wood look a little bit. Because, like, apparently, like, it's in, the, like, the requirements that their games must support it in some way. Uh-huh. But they never specify how. So it's like, well, I guess we can get away with saying it supports it by just making... like some of the textures nicer. Like I don't know, iterative consoles are I'm no longer that optimistic about them until I see them in action, until the Pro comes out. And we'll get back to the Switch in 2 seconds. I will gladly come on here and eat crow if the Pro comes out and like Battlefield's running at a locked 60, if they release a patch for Bloodborne that makes it 60, if freaking Witcher 3 is running at 60, if these games that like Final Fantasy or Battlefield or Titanfall, if these games are significantly improved and not just marginally, if you don't own a 4K TV, I want that to be the case because I want a reason to buy it. But otherwise, it's just on the market for people to go to the store like who don't know much and go, oh, what's this? Oh, what's this one? And what's that one? Like, there'll be three PS4s on the shelf. They're discontinuing the main one, but they're still going to exist. Secondhand mark, like used. So it's like, don't do this. So Switch. I think we'll see probably like because Nintendo likes making, well, every company likes making a slim version of their console. I think we'll see not a hardware revision, but like a.
I mean, you can't make a Switch revision. Much slimmer. It's
that's true.
It's pretty damn slim.
This is yeah, and they never did. Well, I guess it wouldn't make much sense to make a revision of the Wii U.
this is it
because it didn't sell that much, and they didn't make a revision of the Wii. Their console,
yeah, they did.
They made the Wii Mini.
Oh, son of a bitch, they did.
Yeah.
Which wasn't backwards
compatible. They made a revision of the NES. It comes out this week, this month.
The Wii Mini was cheaper, but it's not. It wasn't backwards compatible with GameCube games.
Yeah.
Ah, that's right. I forgot about that, totally. Wow.
It looked quite cool.
Yeah, but it doesn't play GameCube games, so what's the point? That was the best part about the Wii.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about all I got really in my head about the Switch. Either of you two have anything else lingering around?
I know I don't sound excited about it. It's because I don't know if I could afford it yet, so that's why.
What would... Sorry. Get rid of this creak, Jesus. what would have to happen on day one for you to be like, all right, irrespective of price, I need to get this day one?
Repeat the question, sorry.
What would have to happen on day one for you to say, regardless of how much money it is, I need to get enough money for this? Okay.
Animal Crossing launch title.
Dream on.
Period.
Dream on.
That's that is the de facto. I mean, like, I'm in day one because if Splatoon is a launch title, like, if those two, if the Mario Kart and Splatoon things are like release week launch title, like short window, like,
we'll see, launch window is within the first like 6 months. It tends to be 3 to 6 months. But they'll say
I'd probably be in day one if Splatoon and Mario Kart launched within that. Like because I want to be on the ground floor for whatever they come out with for Splatoon. And same with Mario Kart, you know, those multiplayer experiences are things I want to have immediately with friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but like the crazy dream wish, like the oh baby wish would be
Red Dead Redemption 2.
An Animal Crossing. Yeah. man, if only.
Would be an
Animal Crossing thing. Yeah, that would just get me like immediately, in their first, like, because they said they're going to be announcing more information next year, like beginning of next year, mm-hmm. presumably, January-ish probably, because thing comes out in fucking March. I want their direct to start. I want the screen to go black, and I want to hear Nintendo, bah, bah! And it's like. Oh. Give me the GameCube Animal Crossing feels. Just give them to me, and it has like a Miiverse style multiplayer hub world that's like when you turn your Wii U on. You guys know what I'm talking about. When you see all the Miis hanging out, like you just go like kind of like
Animal Crossing Plaza.
Integrate all these ideas from like everything into this. Big final ultimate Animal Crossing game. Oh, I just. God, sorry. That's my. That would get me day one. Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm dying over here.
I'm pretty much in day one. Like the only thing is, do I have enough money in my bank account to buy one of these? If yes, I will buy one. If no, I literally can't. So.
Well, we'll say if no. What, like if no? Rather, you'd wait. But if there was something on day one that was like, I have to sell everything so that I'll make sure that I get this. What would it be?
Zelda, like have Zelda be a launch title, because that's still not been confirmed. But
that's very true. That is very true.
I imagine it will be. So I'm gonna start selling stuff over Christmas. Because people buy stuff at Christmas for presents, so there you go. Smart move. Yeah.
I'll be buying it day one regardless, so that I am ready. Because, one, Lord knows whether there's actually going to be a good supply of these things. We don't know if we've got a Wii situation or a Wii U situation.
I am going to pre-order one. I want to make sure... I can afford it when it happens, by the way.
I want to make sure that I have one ready for when everyone else eventually gets one. It's like, I've got one, I'm good to go. And I can walk around town playing freaking Zelda.
All I've ever wanted in my life is to play Skyrim in a taxi, and it's within my reach now.
That's your big dream. That's all.
That does remind me, actually, on the battery front, that... those who studied English as a GCSE suspect that the reason that we followed that one guy playing Skyrim from the airport to the plane to the taxi to his house is to infer that it has a reasonable battery life, that you could be playing it in those four situations and it still be working. Even though he's charging it in the airport, but so it can last a flight, a taxi, and getting home.
Well, flights vary by length, so
This is a transatlantic flight. LA to Moscow. It'll last that and the taxi. There you go. It's true. If someone says it,
it must be true.
It's a 20-hour battery life.
It's got a better battery life than my 3DS. I'm throwing that thing out the window.
I mean, rumors have to start somewhere. Why can't I be one?
Because you don't have any fucking backing for it. You can't just say
neither do most of these
people.
You
can't just say things and now it's a rumor.
Guys, I've heard, keep it on the down low, but I've heard the Switch has a 48-hour battery life.
You heard it here first.
Reputable. Your brother unplugging your console won't kill your game. Because it'll be on the tablet. Think about it.
Boom!
Think about it.
It's almost as if I've had a Nintendo Switch for the last 3 years. But not quite.
Well, if someone pulls your power cable out of your Wii U, it kills the game.
That's true. But I've never been in a situation where I've had the power taken out of the Wii U.
It does feel like the Wii U done properly.
If Pikmin 4 comes out on release date, then that'll be an instant buy as well.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Pikmin 4.
Playing Pikmin 4 in the taxi.
Playing Pikmin 4 everywhere.
Play it everywhere. Play it at the doctor's.
Play it on the toilet. Play it upside down. Play in a car. We live in a world where we could be playing something like Pikmin 4 on a roller coaster. I'd like to go on this roller coaster with loop-de-loops, please, whilst I play Pikmin. And everyone...
Have you ever seen the Giant Bomb video no. where they... on their 3DS, what the fuck was it? What game was that? It was Mario something. Where two of the writers for Giant Bomb like challenged each other to try to beat the same Mario level while on one of the I forget what park it was, while on a roller coaster, while having a 3DS in their hands. Obviously, they strapped it to their hands. Obviously, it would have flew. But that was super funny to watch. That's worth watching because that's what it reminds me of. Going up and just jamming Pikmin 4 on a coaster. Well,
No. What you do is, all right, you have three of your friends. You all go on the same roller coaster. You're going to play Splatoon, and you're all going to be staring intently at it. And the picture's just going to be you, four people staring at bloody tablets. Is your?
Oh my God, Kinross! If magazines were still around, because
there are magazines.
Well, like, if game magazines were still prominent and people actually cared to make advertisements for them. A lot of old magazine ads from, like, the 90s and early 2000s for video games are always super weird. Mm-hmm. And, like it would always have some stupid fucking live-action, like, little skit going on with, like, whatever it was advertising. Have, like a family roller coaster picture and have them all staring intently at a Switch and then just have the Switch logo in the bottom. Like, you know, just to advertise it, you could play it literally anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, man, that's the perfect magazine ad. Why don't we live in the 90s anymore?
The problem is, you can't tell that they're all playing a game together, so it looks like the most antisocial thing in the world. As someone who has just started watching Black Mirror, you should realize that the idea of a family of four being on a roller coaster and they're actually staring at a screen.
Yeah. People do that anyway, I guess, with their phones, so... Well, it was a brilliant ad while it lasted.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. It would be... anywhere. Nintendo Switch.
Anyway.
March anywhere. Next year, we'll all have one. And it'll be great.
E3 that year is going to be great. Because we're just going to have so much news, so
maybe
games.
Maybe we could even get Bill over to the UK and have an E3 party. That's the real dream. Forget Animal Crossing in a taxi that's not on a 3DS.
Four people playing Animal Crossing in the same room, visiting each other's towns.
That's the dream.
That's true.
Were those sirens
probably
heard? Sirens, get the fuck out of here, cops.
I mean, I've had a ton of sirens and trains all this time, so yeah. I think
fucking trains,
I think that is everything. We're pretty much
that's all
we
that's
really
all.
Want this thing, and I am looking forward to more news.
As am I.
Yes,
I don't know what there is that they could say that would suddenly be me like, no. I think they can only really say stuff. I will give them credit for actually nailing an advert trailer where people know what the hell this thing is, unlike the Wii U, which was abysmal.
Yeah.
So congrats, Nintendo.
Yeah.
You can advertise.
Trailer was great. Music was great. Everyone was so happy. The little noises were satisfying.
The clicks.
Whatever
the clicks were so good.
Oh my god!
I want that as a text tone.
You probably can get it.
Yeah, I probably could. I'll rip it myself.
You gave me an idea. I'll probably do that when I get out of here. Yeah. That's the perfect text tone. Thanks for the idea, Kenneth. I've been using an annoying sound from Destiny as my text tone.
I've got...
Just because I usually change my text and ringtones like based on relevancy. Like, what am I doing in my life right now? What am I playing? What am I watching? Mm-hmm. So I end up switching. Like, my phone wallpaper is still Tracer. It's going to stay Tracer because I still play Overwatch. My text tone is a Destiny noise because I'm still playing Destiny. And my ringtone is from My Hero Academia because I like that show. And I watched it recently.
You don't watch anime, Bill.
Oh, I guess I'm not.
Who the hell was that?
Let's just say I stabbed myself with a pin. So this has been the Nintendo Switch special of the Permadeath podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I can sit here and call, it's just a quick special episode, but we've been going almost 2 hours, and that's pretty nice.
It might get
a lot to unpack on the Switch. A lot to unpack on the Switch for just a 3-minute trailer, which is what excites me the most, and what I think should excite Nintendo fans the most is that there's so much to talk about with this, and there's still stuff maybe we forgot to even mention that, you know, we'll
inevitably
pop up
we did.
Stop.
But
yeah, it's super exciting. Mm-hmm. We will have an actual episode for you. I'm gonna say soon. I'm gonna throw you guys under the bus.
To be fair, soon can include Christmas time. For the last episode of the year, but I would like to get one done soon as well.
Because I forgot I did play PSVR a lot, and I don't have one.
Speaking of PSVR, it's unrelated. Well, it's I don't know whether you've heard this, Bill or Abby, but Game, the local UK game selling shop, are charging £10 or £15 to demo PSVR for 15 to 30 minutes.
What? Are they really?
Yeah. You've got to book a slot, you pay £10 for 15 minutes, and £15 for 30, I think.
Okay. I got a proposition for anyone listening.
Are you going to say, come to my place, knock on the door, and it'll cost you £2, because that's all that the British media has been full of. People be like, I've got one. Just come by. It's free.
Just come over for... Yeah. Like, that's insane. I mean, there's absolute value in demoing the VR.
For sure.
Because I think VR is one of those things where it's really hard to sell someone on it unless they try it. Like, I can sit here and look you in the eye and go, it's amazing. But you can look at me and go, well, I'm still kind of skeptical because what the fuck... Like, what... You know, people have been trying to peddle VR for forever. It's always been a pipe dream of society, virtual reality. So it's always kind of like, you know, like, how do you really sell this thing? And the only way to sell it is to put it on someone's head and go, here, try this out. So there's value in the idea of demoing it, but I think it's a ripoff to sit here and take money out of someone's pocket when, like, the demos are so short. Just like any demo station at any store, whether you got the PlayStation 3 demo station or the PS4 demo station, put a fucking helmet on the goddamn demo station and let people do it for free. Like, for Christ's sake. Like, are you that hard up for money? Like, what the hell? Like, who's going to pay? Who's going to pay to try something out? What if they hate it? What if they get so sick?
To be fair,
that they puke?
When I go to, like, EGX, I have to pay for a ticket to get in there. So there is that.
Well,
that's true, but...
Well, I think the difference is, like, the VR is out and, like, these games are out. Like, you're going to EGX and paying for a ticket to, like, get access to these games that aren't out yet. Like, first look at, like Final Fantasy 15. Like, you got to play that before anybody else did. Like, that's like premium access to like a thing, and like before the VR is out, like buying a ticket to those shows, you get to experience all this cool tech and these games and all this stuff. Recommend this fucking demo station at the damn store is like that shit's in people's houses right now. Like, that's kind of slimy.
Welcome to the UK.
Woo. Yeah. But it's amazing. I'll
Well, I'm not paying bloody 10 quid to find out, Bill. And then I'm not paying 350 quid to buy a Pro to then buy the VR.
It's that's going to be. I'm interested to see what the outcome of that's going to be. Because
poor.
As of right now, I mean, PSVR runs pretty fine on the. I mean, the image quality might not be as high as it will be on the Pro, but there's no guarantee. And they never even showed it at the fucking demo at the fucking presentation for the Pro. What effects it's going to have on VR? It's like they didn't even acknowledge VR exists during the reveal of the Pro. Like, that was one of the big things on people's mind, is like, do I buy the VR now with the regular PS4? Do I wait for the Pro? It's like, what the fuck? To this day, I don't know who put the show together for that Pro reveal. Like, what ass behind the scenes made the itinerary for that fucking presentation?
It's the intern who made the Red Dead Redemption trailer, okay? Put in some slack.
This looks good.
He freaked out about the PlayStation once. He's like, I've got to focus. Oh, crap, the trailer's only 30 seconds long. Oh, I've got to run away now to Guatemala.
Guatemala. but yeah, so I'll have some VR, PSVR impressions. I mean, not no Vive or anything like that. Next time we record. Yep.
Ebby's played like 40 hours of a game. There's some stuff to talk about.
I got the Junkrat skin in Overwatch.
Hooray!
That's all.
I haven't gotten
I'm here for.
Overwatch yet.
I'll see you later.
I really can't complain about my drop rates this year for the Halloween event, not for the summer games.
What? You were complaining about it like a week ago.
Well, that's the
in
that's
the last
where
week
I
have you now gotten the
from.
Stuff that you wanted, and thus you will not complain.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I was bitching about it because I got a legendary Hanzo skin, which pissed me off. I got a fucking old one. And then I got a legendary Winston skin, an old one. And like, I'm opening these boxes, I'm getting these legendaries to drop, and like, oh, any other day of the week, I'd be like, oh, cool. But like, when I'm opening a pumpkin, and I'm getting an old-ass skin, legendary or not, it's like, man, fuck you. Let me sell this. Like, let me sell this skin I don't want. I don't even want this. I don't even play Winston. Like, I don't think old legendaries should drop in seasonal boxes. If I wanted the chance at old legendaries, I could switch over and open a regular
box. I've had
box.
A like, McCree legendary and an Honor legendary in this event.
Out of the Halloween boxes? Damn. Were you sad?
I was like, oh my god, is this the time? Oh,
yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah. it's the exact reaction, like, oh! And then it's like, oh! Oh, stinks! This smells! Like, yeah.
But then you get moments when it's actually the thing you want.
Yeah. I message my friends. I have a group message with my friends, and they're... I can't imagine they enjoy getting messages from me at the time, because usually it's just a lot of what you see on Discord and Skype.
What do you mean?
A lot of rants. Well, what was that? What was I ranting about? Oh, that was Until Dawn that day, where I just spammed the hell out of your chat. It's a lot of stuff like that. And I just bitch about these loot boxes constantly. And two of my buddies have not gotten anything from the Halloween boxes. They've had the worst luck possible out of these boxes. And here I am just bitching and complaining after already getting the Junkrat skin. At this point, I already
my
had
luck's been pretty poor.
You haven't got sick. No, you've got Reaper, haven't you?
Did you get any perks?
No, I don't have
forgot
the
about
Reaper. Oh, yeah, I got the Reaper one.
I want Reaper. I want him so bad. His guns look so cool.
But similarly, there's nothing that I'm like, I really, really need this.
Yeah.
But,
I really desired the... Because I already have the clown skin for Junkrat, and I actually like that skin a lot. Junkenstein, I think, is his best skin for sure. So I did want it. But, like, the only one I really wanted, like, this was my tracksuit tracer of the Halloween event, was Roadhog, because I don't really like any of his legendaries that much.
I feel that way about Junkrat, so that's why I was like, I need that Junkrat skin.
So, like, Roadhog was like, and I've gotten no skins for Roadhog since I bought this game. Like, I've gotten so unlucky, and I play him a lot. I love Roadhog. So, like, that Frankenstein's monster skin was, like, instant. Like, I need that, because I love the way his gun looks. I love the whole aesthetic of it. Like, I love that he's still wearing a mask of Frankenstein, and it's not even his real hair. You can see his white hair underneath it. Like, oh, it's such a good skin. I love it.
Yeah, I've gotten it twice. I like it that much. I've gotten it twice.
Oh my god, you got a duplicate? Yep.
You only get 200 coins for it as well. And I was like, why not at least 500?
What?
That sucks.
Yo. That's some trash. Anyway, We'll talk more about Overwatch on the next time we all convene. This has been the Permadeath Podcast. I am Bill. Well, why am I introducing us again?
I'm Abby.
There you go. Yeah, save me from this. Kinross, who are you?
I'm Steve.
You can follow us on Twitter at Perma Podcast. You can leave a comment down below. What do you guys think of the Switch? Are you guys super fuck? Not you two. I'm talking to the people listening. Okay. By the way, are
getting
you guys
a very strong sense
hyped?
Of deja vu.
Are you guys super hyped about the Switch? As we are. Are you skeptical about the Switch? There's maybe reasons to be. There's reasons to be skeptical about everything. There's reasons to be skeptical about whether or not we're actually going to put out another episode or not before the end of the year. Let us know in the comments down below what you think. Hit us up on Twitter. Ask us some questions so we'll have them for the next time we record. You know, get ahead of the game. Jump the gun. You know, ask me what I think about anything. Ask Kinross what he thinks about Destiny. You know, ask us questions. We love questions. You know? Make us a Permadeath Podcast pin and send it to my address so I can stab myself with it the next time we record. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye,
everybody.